Good morning, brethren. I would like to ask you to please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Before we begin our lesson this morning, I'd like to make a few quick announcements. I've been asked to announce by Brother Shane that the website is coming along great, and we sure appreciate everybody who has gone there and looked at it and signed up for an account. But I'd like to again remind everyone to go on to our website and click on the Members tab. And if you have not yet, please do create an account, especially for the men in the congregation. It's a wonderful tool that allows you as men to sign up for the things that you do to lead services, whether it be prayer, song leading, or whatever. And you can sign up for a reminder, whether it be through an email or a telephone, and it will remind you before services that you have something to lead. It's a wonderful tool to help us make sure that we're all prepared, that we lead in a proper way. I'd also like to remind us that if you have not yet looked into to your handout, to your bulletin, that tonight, being the fifth Sunday of the month, we're going to have a congregational singing. And if you want to lead singing tonight, men, please let me know, or one of the elders or deacons, and we'll make sure that everyone that wants to lead will be able to do that. And I hope and encourage everybody to come out tonight. It's a wonderful opportunity. I love when I have the opportunity to sing praises. Sometimes that can lift me up even more than a lesson or a study from the Bible. It's just, it's a wonderful feeling inside to sing praises to God and to remind ourselves of the love He has for us and the wonderful power He has. So I would encourage everybody to come out tonight and lift your voices in singing with us this evening. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a chapter where Jesus, our Lord and Savior, begins to be quite popular in His ministry on earth. This is a time where in the chapter before and in John chapter 6, people are starting to follow Jesus. In fact, we even read that a multitude of 5,000 or more began to follow Jesus. Why do they begin to follow Him? They begin to follow Him because of the things that they have seen Him do. They have seen Him heal the sick, heal the cripple. You have seen Him feed the 5,000, fish and the bread. People begin to follow Him because He starts to do these miracles, these wonders. People get really excited. Some people follow Him for the correct reasons of wanting to have faith in this gentleman that they understand and they're starting to believe is Jesus, is the one that's prophesied about. Then again, some others begin to follow Jesus because of the wonders that He does. Begin to follow Him for the physical reasons of the filling of their bellies of the food and the miracles that He shows, almost as an entertainment that they enjoy getting to see Him do all of these things. 5,000 people begin to follow Jesus Christ. But as we'll notice in our reading today, some of them simply walk away. 5,000 begin to follow Jesus. What a great number of disciples. But Jesus knows better. Jesus knows that every single one of those 5,000 are not following Him for spiritual reasons. I pose the question today, will you walk away from Jesus? Let's begin reading in John chapter 6, verses 60 through 71. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "These are hard sayings. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father." Verse 66, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more." I'll pause there before finishing the chapter to notice, why did the multitude fall away? Why did these 5,000 people stop following Jesus? Well, Scripture tells us exactly why they stopped following. If we go back to verse 60, the multitude says, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" what's happening here is Jesus is beginning to tell them that without Him, without Jesus the Savior, you cannot enter into heaven. Unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you cannot enter. They begin to hear these things and wonder, what is He talking about? I say these are hard sayings. At first, yes, they are hard sayings to understand, as Jesus says some pretty radical things there. But as He begins to explain what they are, they're not hard sayings to understand. They're hard sayings to follow. Let's continue to read. Verse 67. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? One of you is the devil." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who betrayed Him, being one of the 12. Jesus asked His own apostles, "Do you want to walk away from Me? You see Me do these signs and wonders. Are you following for the right reasons?" That's what Jesus is saying. Are you apostles? Are you following Me because you believe I am Jesus, the Son of God? Or are you just simply following Me because of the miracles, the things that you've seen Me do? Let's also turn to verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 and 27. This is what Jesus is saying about all of those who have followed Him. At the beginning of John chapter 6, we understand that when He crossed the Sea of Galilee, this is after He walks on the water, and the multitude know that He's gone to the other side. So they get in boats the next morning. They notice Jesus isn't here. So they get in the boat and they fall to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus notices while they're following Him. Verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." I love this chapter. John chapter 6. A multitude begin to follow. And it seems to be a turning point in the gospel of, this is it. This is the time when people are going to understand who Jesus is, what He's done for them. And then you continue to read in the chapter and you see, there's no difference from them from today. People begin to follow Jesus, but they fall away because He teaches them some truth. Can we not relate to that ourselves? Have you ever felt that there's some hard things in the Bible and it was a little hard to follow? A little hard to say no to some sin? If you haven't felt that way, certainly you know people around you that are that way. They begin to come to you wanting to know more about the gospel, know more about the truth of God, but then you begin to share the words of life with them and they don't want to follow. We ask the question, hey, will you walk away from Jesus when you hear the hard sayings of Jesus? First in our notes, I want to begin our lesson by saying, why do people walk away? Why do they walk away? Jesus had become immensely popular, as we said, but some of the people who wanted to make Him king, and before our reading, there was people that actually said to Jesus, you're the king. You do all these things. We have to make You a king on earth. This is what they understood. They knew the prophecy was that there was going to be a Savior coming, and they thought, this is the Savior. Look at the things He can do. We must have to anoint Him a king and build Him a temple. But then all those people who wanted to make Him a king turned their back on Him. But why the change? Why do these people that seem like they're so in love with Jesus, why did they change? Here's why. Because Jesus taught them hard sayings. He taught them that He is the way to the Father. Through Him and only through Him will you become saved from your sins. They heard hard sayings and they did not want to follow it anymore. I want to look at some of these hard sayings that He taught them. The first thing that He taught them can be found in verse 29. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He sent." Here's the way of salvation from the Father. Why is that a hard thing to understand? Well, we have the Bible. We've always had it. seems logical to us. Think about if you were one of the multitude of 5,000 and someone standing before you said, I'm the way of salvation. Only through me can you be saved. Might that be a little hard to believe? It was for the 5,000. That's one of the reasons that they thought these things were hard. First, they didn't understand. Once they understood, they didn't want to follow because they didn't quite believe that. Verse 32 and 42. 32 says, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread of heaven from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 42 says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? Every one of the Jews knew the stories of the manna being sent down from heaven by God, feeding their ancestors the food that kept their bellies full. They believed that that was God who sent it there. And now Jesus comes and tells them, I am something better than that manna came down. I am better than that. God sent me. I am better than that manna. That's a little hard to understand. And then we saw in verse 42, the Jews began to say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? They've known this gentleman from childhood. We can see why it might be a little hard to understand, a little hard to follow, as they say, isn't this somebody we've known our whole lives, the son of Joseph? How can he be our Savior? That's one of the reasons it was hard for them to understand. A third is that verse 35 and 49, as we spoke on just a moment ago, he tells them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Again, I think that we can understand that this might be a little hard for them to understand when he says, I am the bread that the Father gives you. It is me that came down from the Father. It was hard for them to understand, then hard for them to follow. But you know, when we hear the truth, when we give it to our friends and families, those around us that we're trying to help see the truth, help them see what Jesus did for them, whether it be you who had heard it at earlier in age or whether it be somebody else that you're giving the truth to, we only have two options when we hear the truth. When the truth is revealed, we can either receive it or we can reject it. We can reject it. A lot of people reject the truth of the gospel, don't they? For a lot of reasons. Maybe you rejected the truth for quite a while before you obeyed the gospel. I'm going to look with this at just a few reasons that some people do reject it. I believe sometimes that if we will understand, sometimes we get frustrated when we try to give the gospel to people and they don't want to hear it. And we just give up on them and we say, well, and they don't deserve it. They don't want to hear it. They don't deserve it. We can be guilty of saying that. That's not true. Everybody deserves the opportunity to seek forgiveness. Everybody deserves to have the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. But we need to understand that some people make excuses for not accepting it and rejecting it. And maybe if we understand those and talk about those a little bit, we'll have some more mercy on that. We'll have a little bit more patience when we teach others. And we'll see it as just a rejection, but not the end. We'll see it as just an opportunity, something else we can overcome, that we need to work harder to share the gospel with those who are rejecting it. I want to show us some reasons that many reject the truth of Jesus. The first reason is some people misunderstand it. Some people simply misunderstand the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you can relate to somebody you know that just misunderstands, knows a little bit of truth, but doesn't understand the full thing. Remember, if you were here with us last Sunday night, we talked about the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, what did the Ethiopian show to us? He showed us someone who wanted to know. He said, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? We have to explain the gospel to people. Don't give up on friends and family who don't understand something, who know a little bit of truth and then have a little bit of false teaching. Explain it to them. Some people simply misunderstand the truth, but we have to be there to have patience, to continue to show them the things that they do not understand. Sadly, some people are simply misled. That's why some people reject the truth of Jesus Christ. Some people, just like the Pharisees, remember in the New Testament, The Pharisees were looked at as the highest of the religious set. They were the ones who loved Jesus the most. What did they do? They misled people to crucify our Lord and Savior. You know anybody like that today that loves God? That they've been misled by somebody? They've been misled to know false teaching, and that's why they aren't doing what God wants them to? We have patience with that. Understand that people can be misled. We have to be there to help them out. Sadly, I know a story, and I'm sure all of you can relate to this and probably have your own stories. But certainly I'd like to share this with you, that some people can be misled. A friend of Alicia's that she used to work with, she knew that Alicia was a Christian. She knew that I was a Christian. And knowing this, she came to Alicia and said, "I'm starting to get interested, you know, in God. I want to know more. You're a Christian, aren't you? Can you tell me some things about God?" We sit at home and we start studying some things, and we talk about verses that this young lady needs to know, needs to read, that would help her know the truth and how she would be saved. Alicia shared those scriptures with us. She began to get really excited, and so was I. I was thinking, what a great opportunity. Someone is seeking the truth. We even offered to have a Bible study with her to teach her anything she wanted to know. But it was at that time her and her husband began to attend a local denominational church of men. She began to attend there. A few weeks later, she came to my wife and she said, "I've been baptized." Wonderful smile on her face. She said, "That's great. Why were you baptized?" "I was baptized so that I could join this group. They told me that if I was baptized, I could be a part of them. I could begin to do the fun things that they do. I could be involved in their entertainment. Me and my husband could go to these fun youth things, these fun entertainment practices. Now we're seen as a member of these people." It's not what the New Testament tells us baptism is for. Baptism is to save us from our sins and to cleanse us, to make us be seen as clean and holy in front of God. Baptism is not something that adds us to a local group of people. It hurts my feelings so much to tell that story. It hurts my feelings to think about all the people. Don't you know people that love God? Don't you know people that want nothing more than to be right in the eyes of God, and somebody misleads them? Some people are just misled, but we have to understand that we have to do everything we can to try to help people understand, not to reject the truth of Jesus. Another reason that some reject the truth of Jesus, while some are just simply opposed to it. As Jesus revealed His truth and His demands to follow His teachings, the Jews were opposed to Him at almost every turn. Verse 41 and 42. Verse 41 and 42, the Jews then complained about Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us His flesh to eat?" Verse 60. They say these are hard sayings. Who can understand them? They were opposed to it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to understand what He meant by saying, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood, and you will be saved." They just said, these are strange things to hear. They don't want to understand them. They just opposed every single thing that He said. Do you know anybody today that just opposes everything you try to share with them? Have patience. Don't give up on them. There's some people in the world today, just like the Pharisees, that'll walk away from Jesus. They'll hear a little bit, but then they'll walk away. They'll oppose it maybe because they don't want to hear it. Maybe they'll oppose it because, Jesus calls for a commitment, doesn't He? Jesus calls not only to just be baptized and never talk about Him again. He calls for us to commit every day of our life to walking with Him. Being a Christian is not about coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and that's it. We are to be a Christian every single day. Some people are opposed to that. Some people are offended by the gospel. You ever tried to share the truth of Jesus and you offended one of your friends? verse 61. Jesus says to His disciples, "Does this offend you?" Brother, I want to encourage you today to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that saves us from our sins, is designed to be a little offensive. Okay? That doesn't mean we go around and we try to make people mad as Christians. That's not what Jesus is saying. But He's saying that the things that I say can offend somebody. Have you ever wanted to share the gospel with a friend, family member, anybody, but you said to yourself, I'm not gonna start that conversation. I might offend somebody. I have to raise my hand and say, guilty. I've done that. That's not how we should be. We should not say to those around us that need to be saved, "I would love to share the gospel, but they'll just get mad at me." What would be worse? What would be worse, for them to get mad at us for a few minutes because we told them about Jesus, or for them to be eternally lost in hell? Jesus says that His message may offend someone. It may happen. Don't let that hold you back. With all love in your heart, not to make them mad, but with all love in your heart, share the gospel with those around you that are lost. That's what Jesus Christ did, and that's what we should do as well. Some people will oppose it. Some people are blind to the spiritual nature of it. John chapter 6, those that began to follow Him, they said, "Show us signs and we'll believe." They had already seen signs. The 5,000 are already following Him because they saw Him heal the crippled. Heal those that are sick. Feed 5,000 with just a few fish and loaves of bread. They didn't need to see another sign. They weren't looking for spiritual needs. They were looking for physical needs. Some people are blind to the spiritual nature of what Jesus Christ can do for them. They saw the miracles and wonders as of the flesh. It's entertainment. Some people will look at the gospel that way today. Some people will be blind to the spiritual nature. Some people will see joining a local group as that friend that I talked about earlier, as an opportunity to begin some fun entertainment, almost to be a member of some kind of country club. And that is so sad. But you know, everyone in this room knows it's true. Don't give up on people just because they might think that way. Some are blind today in the world because of our fifth rejection this morning. Some people want the entertainment, but not the expectation. John chapter 6, those that were following Jesus had their fleshly appetites satisfied. Verse 34, they wanted more of the same. They said to Jesus in verse 34, "Lord, give us this bread always." They wanted to be filled. They wanted to be entertained. They didn't say anything about, "Lord, give us this bread always and I will follow you." They just wanted Jesus to continue to do things for them. They were looking for excitement, entertainment. "Jesus, show us another miracle. Feed our bellies again. Do all these physical things for us." But when Jesus began to talk about expectations, when Jesus issued a call for commitment to Him, to follow His ways, what happened? They walked away. Almost all of the 5,000 walked away from Him. They did not want a commitment. They didn't want to have to actually do something beyond just feeding their bellies, seeing miracles. Sadly, brethren, the same mentality is developed within the church today in some bodies. We have to do everything we can to follow Scripture to the letter. It is not for us to change anything. It is not for us to say, "Hey, I think it would be better if we worship Jesus, we worship God this way." We worship how God prescribes. It is not up for us to have a mentality of wanting excitement. You're supposed to get excited about worshiping because you're here. You're supposed to get excited about seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you sing, get excited that you're lifting up your voice to God. That's what we're supposed to get excited about. Not entertainment. Some of the churches today that are growing the fastest, sadly, are growing not because they're standing on the Word of God, but because they're standing on doctrines of men. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Today, churches of men are beginning to have large crowds. We know about some churches, some religious groups that are beginning to have thousands. We
we have 70-something on the Lord's Day, and we want to continue to grow in this community to save souls. And if we save 10 souls this year, that would be great. I always hope for more. But some groups, thousands. To them, our group would be nothing. They have thousands of people, but why are they growing? The first reason is because they have a contemporary band. A lot of groups today are saying, you know, singing with praises to the Lord in your heart, well, that was for our fathers and our mothers, our grandparents, but, you know, today people need a band. People need to be entertained. If we get a good young band in here, people will come here, their souls will be saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the New Testament does not say anything about a contemporary band. It does not say anything about that's the way to reach, that's the way to give the gospel. The truth that Jesus taught that multitude is what we are to teach to others. Not for us to add to the way that we reach the lost. Another way that many churches are growing, and incorrectly, is by a message that doesn't challenge them. Many people want to come together, they want to get together with their friends, their country club feel, and they want a preacher to stand before them and tell them God loves you. John 3:16, if you believe in Him, that's all you need to do. You don't need to do anything special every day of your life. Just believe in God. Be a good person. Come to church. You'll be saved. How many people in our lives do we know that feel that way? Have you talked to them? With love in your heart. Not to offend them, but with love in your heart, have you shared the truth with them? It is our duty to share with those around us that may be led astray. Remember how many people are misled? But think about it this way. Sometimes I don't think we contemplate that all of those thousands of people that we may know that might be going to these churches of men, do you not think they do not love God? Of course they love God. They're going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday perhaps. But they've been misled. Teach them the truth as Jesus did. It's not about just a band. It's not about a message that doesn't challenge, that doesn't correct. Another reason many people are growing as a religious group, they have a youth program on Sunday mornings where they bring them in and they entertain them. Maybe bring some food. Maybe some kind of a show for them. It's a babysitting service while the parents are in the assembly. Amongst the assembly, they have a touchy-feely religion that's completely void of the truth. Again, they tell them that God loves you. You need to love God. You need to be a good person. You don't need to be baptized. You just need to believe. That is not what the New Testament teaches. That is not what Jesus teaches. We need to understand that as Jesus in John chapter 6 began to teach truth, people walked away. When you teach people, people might walk away. That doesn't mean you need to stop. We need to see the reasons people grow unscripturally. We need to see the reasons that people walk away, and we need to confront it. It's our job to go there with the truth, not to walk away and just say, well, those people are lost. Did Jesus just say, well, people are lost, and not try to continue to teach? No. Neither should we. Some things are hard to understand. Some things are hard to follow. But you need to carry on. Have faith in God. Pray to Him for strength. Not everyone can handle the truth of the Bible. Some people walk away. But not everybody does. Why don't some people walk away? We're going to close with this thought this morning. If you have a genuine faith, you cannot walk away from God. Remember when the disciples are asked by Jesus if they too will leave Him? As always in the New Testament, as always in the Gospels, one apostle stands up and lets his voice be heard. Peter answers for the group. He stands up and boldly says to God, I have a total commitment to you. How would I go anywhere else? You have the words of life. What kind of faith did Peter have? He had a genuine faith that could not walk away. Him and the other apostles, the other disciples, they didn't walk away just because Jesus explained some hard things. One, because they had a genuine faith. They would not walk away. Now you might be thinking, Okay, but I've read the rest of the New Testament. I know that Peter is one who denies knowing God. Peter displays times of not having faith in God. Jesus once tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." But we never ever see Peter or any of the other apostles walk away. Peter fell from time to time, didn't he? Have you ever fallen from time to time? Is there ever a sin in your life? Of course there is. There's sin in all of our lives. But we must have a genuine faith that will never walk away. When we sin, we pick ourselves back up and we say, "I'm living for the Lord. I want repentance from my sins, and I will not walk away from Jesus Christ." We have genuine faith like Peter, like the apostles did, not walk away. I recently read a definition. Now, granted, this is not scripture. This is just a definition from a man, but I really liked it for this lesson. This man defined a Christian could be defined as one who cannot walk away. I thought that was great. A true Christian, a one who has genuine faith, is one who might sin from time to time, might fall, might do something in error, but he will never walk away from Jesus Christ. He will always pray to God and say, "I want to put you first. I am sorry for my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. But I promise you, God, I will not walk away from you. I will love you forever. Thank you for everything you have done for me." Do you have a genuine faith this morning? Do you have a faith that will not walk away from Jesus if times get tough in your life? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us are going to sin. It's going to happen. Don't fall away. Don't walk away. The question this morning is, we've looked in John chapter 6, we've made some points about people that fall away. I ask you the question, will you be like Peter? Or will you be like the multitude? Will you be like Peter and will you take the stand that says, "Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for me. I will never leave you." Or will you read the Bible? Will you find something that sounds a little hard to understand? Will you find something in the Bible that seems like that's going to take something away from my life that I want to remain? "God, I love you to a certain point, but I don't want to take this away from my life." Then you walk away because you don't want to change. Genuine faith cannot walk away. I pray this morning that everyone here will continue to have a genuine faith that cannot walk away from Jesus. Be like Peter. Be like the apostles that stayed. Continue to follow Jesus. Do not walk away like the 5,000 did. Will you walk away from Jesus? 5,000 people followed Jesus because of the things that He did for them. They began to follow because, well, it was exciting. Who in this room wouldn't be excited to see Jesus perform a miracle? To heal someone that they know has been crippled since childhood. Of course we would. That's not the reason that you follow. You follow because you have a genuine faith. If you don't have a genuine faith this morning, fix that. It's just that simple. You just say to yourself, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing. And from this time forward, I will not walk away. I will make everything I do in my life for you. And I will make sure I go to all of those people around me that have been misled, who oppose, who have been offended. And I will share the truth of the gospel with them so that they can be in heaven with me one day." If you're not a child of God this morning, understand that you are like the multitude. You have heard these things this morning. You have continued to hear things that are taught in classes, preached from the pulpit, told to us by our elders, and you've said thanks but no thanks, and you have walked away. Don't be like that anymore. Be like Peter. Stand up and say, "I'm ready to be saved from my sins. I'm ready to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I want to commit my life to Him. I want to let baptism release me from my sins." If you're willing this morning to take a stand and be baptized for the remission of your sins, let us know. Let us help you with that today. If you're a child of God who has walked away, be like Peter. Stand up and say, "Today is the day I will live for God and not myself." If we can help you with any spiritual need, I ask you to come as we stand and sing. Won't you come?